Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
So, how do you get started? When we return, we talk about just how easy it is to begin learning bird songs and calls on your Voice of the Earth, the Wildside News. I can only hope the next time you are outdoors and the birds are talking that you listen with new eyes. So we hear Dr. Kruidsma as he gives you a few more thoughts on the life of birds and song.
We're talking with Donald Kruidsma, who is the author of The Singing Life of Birds. It's published by Houghton Mifflin. I would have to guess that you've had the opportunity to take a lot of these bird calls and slow them down, because all of a sudden that puts it more in a human dimension. It becomes more of a human voice as opposed to these twitters and twits and different things, you know. Have you had a chance to do much of that, and what have you learned from that?
Yes, there's some debate as to how well birds can actually hear, but I think they can hear far better than we can. And the proof comes in all the tiny little details in the songs that we can see in sonograms, and we know other birds are learning the details of those songs from each other so that they can hear those little details. And I think hands down the favorite track on the CD for my book is, I think it's track number 70, it's a wood thrush, where I say, okay, we're going to slow this song down 10 times, mm-hmm. and we bring the pitch way down too into our best hearing. And when you do that, and the wood thrush is special too, because in the second part of a song, and I think thrushes throughout North America, throughout the world, the New World, do this, they have two voices that they use simultaneously. They have these two voice boxes. And when you look at the figure in the book, and then you play that track on the CD, first you're playing the left track, and you see what the left voice box is doing, and then you see and hear what the right voice box is doing, because I'm able to separate these electronically on my computer. And then you hear these two voices together as the bird actually sings it, but at 1/10 normal speed. And you hear this exquisite harmony of what this wood thrush has put together. And what if not? Well, it's jaw-dropping, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, I think we have to appreciate the fact that these animals work in a different realm. I know that we can actually experience that when we go through some sort of emergency crisis and we get the adrenaline rush and time slows down. If we could just kind of take a little lick on some adrenaline, we could probably better appreciate these birds, because suddenly we would hear them in a whole different time context and as well level in terms of bring it more to a human voice. It's it's really very. I personally, that's something that in the future I wish to really focus on, because I'm fascinated by the world of animals and the extraordinary rich lives that they have. It's not for me. It's way more complex than probably most people want to appreciate. But it's the world that gives me infinite amounts of joy and a sense of wonder that keeps me moving forward. Quite honestly, life is a miracle.
Well, I hear you, Sydney. It is a miracle, and there's this Zen parable that someone sent to me. He got an early copy of my book. This is Lang Elliott in Ithaca, New York. Mm-hmm. Got an early copy of my book to review, and he said, "You know what your book is all about? Here's this Zen parable." And I paraphrased it a little to make it a little more appropriate for this book, but it goes like this. "What's that you said?" asked the Zen master. "You've heard hundreds of birds sing? Ah, but was it the bird you heard or the label? If you listen to a thrush and hear a thrush, you have not really heard the thrush. But if you listen to a thrush and hear a miracle, then you've heard the thrush." So the world is just full of these miracles. And like you, what keeps me going is, oh, I have a list of 52 miracles that I want to go study here for this next project I'm putting together. And it took me to this local refuge at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, waiting for these tanagers to wake up, because I just had to know what they did at dawn so I could compare exactly what they do at dawn with what they do later during the day. And it's crawling inside the mind of a tanager, however simply, and I know I'd like to go much deeper, but I'm going to be satisfied with just touching the surface and coming up with a whole bunch of questions that someday I'd like to answer. But you're right. Life is just full of miracles.
How many species are covered in the book?
There are 30 chapters in this book, The Singing Life of Birds, and a touch on a number of other species too, but 30 main stories.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, they are stories that literally you go out in the field and you experience, and as you can see, Donald is a romantic and a visionary, if I may say so. You certainly appreciate life in its miraculousness, and that really comes across in your book, the way in which you actually are turning science into poetry and art, just as you write. And then, of course, with the CD to accompany it, it adds another dimension as well. Now, you also cover some practical things, such as if a person wanted to do this, to go out and record their own, it isn't really all that difficult and doesn't require a lot of investment, or you can go as far as you want. But you also cover that. Why don't you help people understand what they can do if they'd like to, perhaps, go out and start recording their own?
Yeah, you don't need much. And there are all different kinds of recording recorders that one can use. I advocate, I warn people in the book. I say, you better be careful. It's a slippery slope, because you can get hooked on this, and before you know it, you need more equipment and better equipment and more expensive, and you need to travel to distant parts of the earth to satisfy your curiosity. But that's all good. I would say you start as simply as possible. Find the cheapest tape recorder you can and a singing bird, and walk up as close as you can to it with the microphone on and capture something on tape. Oh, it could be as simple as saying to yourself, well, you know, there's a robin singing outside my window. I'm just going to capture him on tape. And we know that robin songs don't change all that much from one year to the next, so I'll be able to know whether it's the same robin next year if I simply hold on to that tape and record him again next year and just listen carefully. And so you can ask all these very simple little questions, and using the simplest of tape recorders and microphones, you can answer some of those questions. Now, that might not be enough for someone. And I mentioned that getting this Raven Light software from Cornell lets you see the songs as you hear them. And as you said to me, we're not talking about a major outlay of money. We can, I would say, park your car in the garage instead of taking that 300-mile jaunt to wherever and back over a long weekend. You've saved enough money to buy some of the most simple equipment to get going on this. And I spell all this out in some detail in the appendix of my book.
Of course, one of the more intriguing recording devices are the parabolic microphones, and they are powerful. If you get into this, many people are going to want to go in that direction. Talk about what they do and some of the price ranges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the old parabolic reflector, it's a bit like a satellite dish. What it does is it's like a big ear. It's a big physical amplifier, actually, because it collects all the sound that hits the surface of this and reflects it back to where you place the microphone. So it is a tremendous physical amplifier. And in the book, I tell the story of my friend Julio and I standing on a hillside in Costa Rica. He was aiming his handheld, we call it a shotgun microphone, at a distant bird, and I had my parabola on this bird. And these songs were just booming into my ear. And one of the most beautiful singers in Costa Rica. And I knew that Julio was not hearing it as I was. And so I slipped my headphones over his ears, so he was hearing what was coming into my parabola, and his face just lit up. And it's what happens when you like I said before, it's like pulling that song right off the bill of the bird, and you hear these intricate little details and the clarity, and it's just spine-tingling.
One of the advantages of them as well is the fact that it helps you literally identify precisely where a bird is.
It's a precision instrument. I have a sight on my parabola. My friends make fun of this sight, my professional friends, but I don't think they... Well, I think they have a few things to learn. This sight, I can... Like these tanagers that I'm working with in the dark. I'm writing a story about these tanagers, but I never saw them. They were way up in the canopy, in the dark, and I move this parabola left to right, and I find the loudest point left to right, and then I stop there, and then when he sings again, I move it up and down, and where it's loudest to my ears, that sight is pointing at the, at that little area up in the tree where I know he's singing. And it's that precise, and also nicely, because it does record the sounds coming from that little area, all the other sounds coming from the left and the right, they're minimized in your recording, so it really focuses on that singing bird wherever it's the parabola is pointed.
If you had a little laser light on that, you could literally point it right at the bird because it's absolutely precise. Yeah, they're an amazing tool. What would people have to, where can they get these things, and what kind of prices would they expect to pay?
There's a wonderful website, and it's in my book. One could do a Google search on the fellow's name, Greg Kunkel, K-U-N-K-E-L, and you'd come up with this website, and it's a website that's dedicated to recording birds in the cheapest way possible.
Mm.
And I love that for starters.
Mm-hmm.
Like Edmund Scientific, I think, has some very inexpensive parabolas, and you could fashion your own little hardware to hold a microphone at the focal point. So this could be done very inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says, well, I'd like to just go buy a good one off the shelf someplace. And my favorite is one that I buy from Sweden. It's a parabola. It's about 24 inches across. I can roll it up and put it in my shirt sleeve and travel on airplanes. Just the parabola itself is less than $100.
Wow.
But then I say, oh, I want that stereo microphone because it gives such a richness to the recording. It lets me focus on that bird. But then, because there are two microphones here at the focal point, I hear the birds off to the left and the birds to the right. It gives me that stereo sound effect. Those are a little over $1,000. But you can get by very cheaply, or you can indulge yourself and say, I'm just going to go get something good right away.
We're talking with Donald Kruzma, who is the author of The Singing Life of Birds. This is a great book. I don't know that I could sit down and read this all the way through. It may take quite a while because it's a huge book, many people may. But I do enjoy just going through, finding a bird that perhaps I've run across recently, and then learning. You learn so much about the bird's life from the songs and the work that Donald has done in really spending time, as he's discussed with us, coming to know these animals. Donald, are you going to be traveling around on a book tour or anything like that?
Oh, I travel here and there a bit. I'll be out in Portland and Seattle over the weekend. And after that, little events here and there, but nothing major and concerted for the rest of the year. There was a period mid-April to mid-May where I was doing something every day, but things have slowed down just a little.
Mm-hmm. Now, if people want to find out more about your work, where can they do so?
Well, I have a website for this book. It's thesinginglifeofbirds.com, and about... the first half of the reviews and all I've put on this website, and I can't keep up, so much good stuff has been happening. For example, fairly recently, National Public Radio had a wonderful piece called Radio Expeditions on our bicycle trip that my son and I took cross-country. We rode our bikes from Virginia to Oregon, 4,500 miles, 10 weeks, recording not only birds, but people along the way, because people dialects are just as interesting as bird song dialects.
Fascinating.
And so you could go to the website for Radio Expeditions or the website for Fresh Air with Terry Gross. But I'm going to have to augment this website for the singinglifeofbirds.com because so much more good stuff has been happening over the month or so since I updated it.
Well, Donald, I want to thank you so much for just barely touching, really, the nature of your work, but sharing so much in that process. I hope we have a chance to talk again on the Wild Side News, and let's keep in touch. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Sydney. A real pleasure.
I'll be listening in a whole new way, and hopefully you too will find today's show a good excuse to spend more time with the wild creatures. Dr. Kreutzmann's book is available from today's show page, or look for it in your favorite bookstore. Things are changing quickly on planet Earth. Since they are changing anyway, there's no better time than now to push for a future that brings we and the wild creatures together. This is Sydney Wildsmith, thanking you for listening and inviting you to listen each Thursday or any time on the archives to your very own Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.